Brother Gerald was reminding people what I was preaching tonight, and he said he's preaching about a sticky subject, how to keep honey in the honeymoon. I had a different sermon I was going to preach tonight, and Brother Wayne and Carol inspired this message last week. If you weren't here last Sunday morning, we didn't have any anniversaries to celebrate, and I said, anybody want to celebrate their anniversary? Of course, Brother Wayne was setting up here. He said, I want to celebrate my anniversary. So we went back, walked back to Carol. We sung to him. He didn't wait till we got done singing. He started kissing her as we started singing, kissed her all the way through. That's probably why his problem came back this week. Too much affection. Don't tell him I said that, Carol, because he'll get me. And the other thing that inspired this message tonight, we had a wedding yesterday, and if you've been to any of my weddings, if you've been to more than one, you know I use the same outline basically every wedding, but I was talking, I made my first point. I always say three things to the bride and groom, and I was making my first point about how God originated marriage. It wasn't something that man thought up, it was something that God thought up and gave to us. And I said something yesterday that I had never said before, that the Lord just brought across my heart. I went back to the Garden of Eden and I talked about how God created Adam from the dust of the ground. And even though Eve wasn't on the scene yet, God knew that she was coming. And so he made Adam to be the very man that Eve needed for her husband. And when it was God didn't discover, he knew it was going to happen anyway. But when the Bible says that it was determined that Adam needed a helpmeet, and I made the statement yesterday that every man needs a woman, and there were two or three ladies, right, Brother John? Two or three ladies that said, amen, amen. But when God took Adam's rib and the flesh around that rib and created a woman, he created in Eve the very kind of woman that Adam needed for a wife. And so I told both the husband or the groom and the bride yesterday, I said, when you think about your spouse, when you think about your husband, I said this to the bride, and I said to the groom, when you think about your wife, here's how I want you to think about her. I want you to think about her as a gift from God that was designed just for you. A gift from God that was designed just for you. And if you'll think about that, think about her or think about him in that way, as long as you're married, you'll be able to do what I'm going to speak about tonight. Tonight, I have a very practical message. And I'm going to preach on the subject, how to keep honey in the honeymoon. Now, some of you may be here, like me, a widow, or some of you are widows. I know that. Some of you are not married yet. And you might think, well, I might as well go home because this message is not for me. I can't go home. I'm the preacher. But I want you to hang on, because in the Bible, God uses marriage to paint a picture of the relationship that should exist between Him, God, and the church. And so the same points that I'm going to make, first of all, to husbands and wives, I'm going to quickly follow and say, for us to keep our relationship with God sweet, we need to do the same three things that husbands and wives need to do to keep honey in their honeymoon. And so again, I have three points. How to keep honey in your honeymoon. Number one, think about each other. Keep each other in mind. Keep each other in heart. You remember when you first started going together, when you fell in love with that one that you were going to marry? You thought about her all the time. She was on your mind from the time you got up until the time you went to bed. When you went to bed, you dreamed about her. You thought, man, God sure has blessed me by bringing this girl, this lady, this woman into my life. She is pretty on the outside and on the inside. She is faithful. She is true. And you thought about all the good characteristics that God put in your wife to be. And when you first got married, the same thing happened while you were on your honeymoon. And for a little while after the honeymoon, you thought about her all the time. And you called back to mind the characteristics that caused you to fall in love with her in the first place. And they were, again, on your mind and on your heart. And you thought about those things. Thought about them throughout the day. Thought about them throughout the night. And you kept honey in your honeymoon because he or she was on your mind all the time. Same thing, ladies, I can only imagine from your perspective, but I think it works the same way. When you first fell in love with that man that was going to become your husband, you thought about him all the time. You thank God for the characteristics that God put in him, for his strength. He was handsome. Every bride thinks her husband is handsome. I've never met an ugly baby, I've never met an ugly bride or an ugly husband. They're all handsome and they're all pretty. At least their spouse-to-be thinks they are. But you said, boy, he's handsome and he's strong and he's brave and he's faithful. He's a good provider. And you thought about the characteristics that caused you to fall in love with him, and it kept honey in your honeymoon. Well, why did you quit thinking about that? Why did you quit thinking about her in that way? Why did you quit thinking about him in that way? I'll tell you why. Time. But with time, we begin to take for granted that person that God has brought into our life. And unless on purpose, we keep bringing them back to our mind, bringing them back to the heart, our heart, we're going to lose some honey from the honeymoon that God wants us to have. You know what? God would like us to live all our married life in that honeymoon kind of relationship, in that honeymoon kind of love. He wants us to have marriages just like Wayne and Carol pictured for us last week. I mean, these guys started going together when they were 3 years old. And well, they might have been a little bit older than that. But, I've never known two people that have loved each other and weren't afraid to show it than them. I've known some people that's come pretty close, but they probably take the prize in my book. And so what I'm saying tonight, you want to keep honey in your honeymoon? Then think about your spouse like you did when you were courting. Think about your husband or your wife like you did when you first got married. Think about the characteristics that caused you to fall in love with them. Now listen, I know every person here, every wife, every husband can say, but preacher, there's some things in my spouse that irritate me. I think if we put Carol under the spotlight tonight and gave her some truth serum, and the fact that Wayne's not here, she would say, yes, there's at least one thing that he does that irritates me. But again, that's true. I don't care how happily married you are. I don't care how much in love you are at this particular point in your marriage. There's some things in our spouses that irritate us. And if we spend our time thinking about those things, the honey jar will start to dry up. Now you get to choose. You can say, well, yeah, those things really irritate me, and those are the things I'm going to keep on my mind. Those are the things I'm going to dwell about. I've been trying to change this man for 40 years. Honey, I'll tell you, you ain't going to change him. The way he, and again, I don't think we should give up, but after 40 years, you ought to come to reality and say, he's probably not going to change. I need to learn to live with that little irritation. But if you decide that's what you're going to dwell on, if you decide that's what you're going to think on all the time, instead of all, now listen, we get to decide. And if you think about the irritating things, your honey jar is going to get empty. But if you keep coming back and thinking about those good characteristics in your husband, in your wife, that caused you to fall in love with them in the first place, that honey jar will get fuller and fuller and fuller. So, point number one, keep them on your heart. Keep them in your mind. Think about them. Think about the good things that God put in them for you. They are a gift from God designed especially for you. Number two, tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. I know there's some men that said, I told her when we got married that I love her. If anything changes, I'll let her know. And you've been married for 15 years now, and she hasn't heard it since the day that you got married. You need to tell her. You need to tell her every day. You need to tell her multiple times a day. You need to tell her in various ways. We used to have a man in this church. He would. In fact, we used to have a man in this church that brought flowers to his wife every single day. Every day, he would go by the cemetery on the way home from work. I'm telling you the truth. I am not lying. I am telling you the truth. He would go by the cemetery on the way home. He knew the flowers on the grave, they were just going to take to the dumpster in the back of the cemetery sooner or later. So he would go by to where they had funerals. He would pick out fresh flowers, and he would take her a bouquet every day. I asked his wife one time. I said, do you know where he's getting those flowers? Well, she said, well, sure. It's not where he gets them. It's the thought that counts. And she loved it. And in that way, he was telling her every single day, I love you. Nothing wrong with that. Now, if we all start going to cemeteries, I may get phone calls about that. But anyhow, but you ought to find a way to let her know that you love her every day. Nothing wrong with even those that have been married for 40 and 50 years writing a little note and tell her that you love her. Nothing wrong with getting up every morning, taking her in your arms, giving her a big hug, giving her a big kiss, and tell her, I love you. Nothing wrong with, you know, you should know where her favorite restaurant is. Nothing wrong with taking her to her favorite restaurant and in that way telling her that you love her. But tell her every day that you love her. Same way, ladies, you tell your husband every day that you love them. I know some ladies that might say, well, my husband's not the mushy type. He doesn't appreciate that stuff. Now, come on. Come on. There's not a husband here that wouldn't like to hear his wife say every day, I love you. And you ought to do that. Thank you. You ought to do that. At least I got one person with me. You ought to tell him every day. I mean, you know, you ought to find out what his favorite meal is. I'm not saying cook it every day, but once a week or so, cook his favorite meal. And that way, say, I love you. And again, I got to hurry for sake of time because I want to get through all my 6 points, and I'm only on number 2, and it's 5 till 7, and I know you guys got a hamburger date, some of you afterwards. But you ought to figure out a way every day to tell your spouse that you love them. And then number 3, you ought to spend time together, one-on-one, just you and him or just you and her. It's wonderful to be with the kids, wonderful to be with the grandkids, but I don't care how long you've been married, you ought to carve out time in your schedule to spend time just one-on-one, you and your husband, you and your wife. You know, when you were dating, when you were courting, you figured out things to do. You went miniature golfing. You went to the movies. Not too many good movies on in today's time, but, you know, you went to the movies. Debbie and I always liked to walk through the cemetery. I take her when it got dark because she'd get a little scared, and we'd sort of snuggle as we walked through the cemetery. Larry took Bev to the cemetery one time, and she fell in an open grave, and she would never go back. True. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. You ask him tonight if that's not true. But she wouldn't go back after that. But figure out. See, you don't want to tell me your secrets because they'll come out in my preaching sooner or later. But figure out things to do together that you can spend time together doing them together. I mean, if you don't carve out any time and spend any time together, that honey jar is going to get pretty dry. So again, 3 simple things that every husband and every wife can do. Think about your spouse. Tell them that you love them. And then number 3, make sure that you spend time together. And don't say, well, we spend time together at Thanksgiving. That's not enough. Or we spend time together at Christmas. That's not enough. I believe every couple ought to have a date night at least once a week. If you can't do it once a week, you ought to do it once every 2 weeks. You ought not to go longer than that. Find somebody to watch your kids. I mean, if you get to the point you can't get anybody to watch them, call me. And I'll get somebody to watch them. You didn't think I was going to get in that one, did you? All right. Now, let me make the application. In the Bible, God uses the husband and wife to paint a picture between him, to paint a picture of the relationship that he wants to exist between him and the church. He is the groom. He is the husband. The church is the bride or the wife. And for us to keep our relationship sweet with God, we need to do the same three things that I just mentioned. Number one, we need to think about each other. I want to tell you, as the groom, our God keeps us on his mind every moment of every day. There's not a minute that goes by. There's not a second that goes by that our God doesn't have us on his mind. You say, preacher, you mean every moment of every day he thinks about me? Yes, as hard as that is to understand, as hard as that is to comprehend, as hard as that is to just know why God loves us that much and why he would do that for us, I can't explain it to you. But as I read that book, I think our God has us on his mind every moment of every day. And we better be glad that he does. We better be glad that he never quits thinking about us. We better be glad that he never takes his mind off of us. But that's only half of it. We need to keep him on our mind every day. We need to recall to mind every day what kind of God that we serve. We need to recall to mind every day how much he loves us. We need to call to mind every day the fact that the one that created the universe, the one that hung the sun in place, the sun and the moon and the stars, the one that created everything that we see, loves us and thinks about us and cares for us, and we need to think about him and keep him on our hearts and our minds every day. Now again, I don't want anybody to raise their hand. I don't want anybody to answer this question. I just want to ask you, how many hours, how many days go by where we as Christians don't have any thought at all for God? I mean, are there times in our life where for a half a day or a whole day goes by and we don't think about God one time? Ought not to be. If we're going to keep this relationship sweet and the way that God wants it to be, he's got us on his mind every moment of every day. We need to keep him in our mind and our hearts every day. Every day. We need to tell him, number two, that we love him. He does that for us. Do you ever think every day God tells us that he loves us? I mean, you go home tonight, you go out and look at the sunset. I don't even know what it's going to look like, but I'll tell you what, you look at the sunset tonight and realize that's God's one way of telling us, I love you. I love you. Go out tonight and look up at the moon and the stars. David said, when I consider the sun, moon, and stars, I'm amazed that the God who set all those in place would love me. Go out tonight. Look up in the night sky. It's going to be clear. There's no clouds. Look at the moon. Look at all the stars. That's God's way of saying, I love you. I love you. When you sit down tomorrow for breakfast or lunch for dinner, I don't care what you're eating. It could be a steak dinner with, you know, potatoes and vegetables, or it could be an old lousy hot dog. I like hot dogs, by the way. Lots of chili and onions. But anyhow, when you sit down, whatever you're going to eat tomorrow, that's God's way of telling you that he loves you. Say, I made money. I bought that food. My wife prepared it. What did God have anything to do with? Well, who do you think gave you your job? Who do you think gave you your strength to work that job? Who do you think gave you your wife? Who do you think gave you your home? Who do you think let you live in America where you can enjoy the freedom that you do, to have food on the table? Who do you think did all that for you? God did. And that's one way of saying that I love you. And I could go on and on and on. Every experience that you have tomorrow with nature, with other people that are in your life, with your family, every one of those things is God's way of saying to us, I love you. God's done his part. We need to do our part. We need to tell God that we love him. We need to just tell him. We need to tell him with our voice. We need to just say the words. God, we just need to look to heaven and say, I love you. I love you. I love. That's what worship is. It's directing our love toward God. It's just telling him that we love him. And again, there's too many days in the lives of Christians, too many days that pass, where not even one time, not one time, not one time, do we look to heaven and we say, God, I love you. I love you. You're such a wonderful, great, grand God. I love you. And every day, to keep that relationship sweet between us and our God, we ought to tell him that we love him. And then number three, we ought to spend time together. Now, I'll just tell you, God's available 24/7. You might say, you mean he's available 24/7 for me? And the answer to that question is yes. He's available 24/7 for me. He's available 24/7 for Nick. And for Denise, and for Brian, and for Tim. He's available 24/7. I mean, the God that has to hold the universe together and keep everything working and hear every prayer and all that God has to do, he's available 24/7 to spend time with every individual. Don't you think we could find some time in our schedules to spend some time with him? Don't you think we could find some time in our schedules to spend some time in that book? Just to read the pages of that book, the Word of God, the Bible? Don't you think we could find some time in our schedules not to just read a couple verses, but to read a couple chapters, and then maybe a couple more, and then maybe a couple more? We ought to be able to find that kind of time. Don't you think we can find some time in our schedules to get down on our knees and spend some time in prayer and thank God for all the blessings and all the things that, well, just forget about the blessings, just to thank him for who he is. I love the way Brother Gene prays, because just about every time he prays, he says, Lord, we thank you for who you are. And that's how we ought to pray. Thank you for who you are, for the kind of God that you are. And then we can begin to thank him for all the ways that he's blessed us. He wants us to spend time in his word. He wants us to spend time in prayer. He wants, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, he wants us to spend time in this place. When we come together as a church family, we are spending time with our God. And if we're going to keep the relationship sweet, if we're going to keep honey in our honeymoon with our God, we need to spend time with him. And again, the things that will work to keep honey in our marriages will work to keep honey in our relationship with him. We need to think about him. Just need to keep him on our hearts and our mind. We need to tell him that we love him. And then we need to spend time with him. So I challenge you tonight. I challenge you if you're married, just, and maybe this won't be any change at all from the way you've been operating, or maybe it'll be in one of these areas a pretty drastic change. I challenge you this week, every day, spend some time thinking about your spouse. Just spend some time thinking about how good God has been to you in giving you that gift designed just for you. Just for you. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you today, figure out some ways to say I love you to your spouse. Man, I wish I'd have 14 ladies come to me next week and say, Preacher, that message last week just revolutionized my husband. He told me in ways like he hasn't for years and years how much he loves me. I challenge you. Do it. Every day. Don't just do it once a day. See how many times a day you can do it. I hope I have some ladies come and say, would you tell him to back off? He's getting on my nerves. I think that'd be a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I challenge you, if you're married, find ways this week, every day, to tell your spouse that you love them, that you love them. And then make it a point this week. If you haven't been doing it on a regular basis, make it a point. Set up a date, just the two of you. Again, it's wonderful to be with the kids. It's wonderful, greater to be with the grandkids. But just the two of you, spend some time together. And what I challenge you to do with your spouse, I double challenge you. I don't know if that's the right phrase or not, to do the same thing with God. Think about him every day. Tell him you love him every day. Spend time with him every day. And I think you'll see that the relationship you have with your spouse and the relationship you have with your God can be sweet. Can be sweet. Can be sweet. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a practical book that tells us how to operate in every area of our life. Thank you that it tells us the kind of husbands and wives to be. Thank you that it tells us the kind of Christians we need to be. And I pray tonight you to help us examine our own lives, our own way of operating when it comes to our marriages and when it comes to our relationship with you. And as we examine our lives, if we find an area that's lacking, just maybe just one of them, but if we find an area that's lacking, we make some vows tonight to fix it, to correct it. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring sweetness back to those marriages that have lost it. You would bring sweetness back to those relationships with you that aren't so sweet. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they have had no idea of what I've been talking about because they have no relationship with you. And I pray tonight they could see that they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from you. So they can't have that relationship that they were created for. But Father, help them to see that Jesus paid for that sin when he went to Calvary's cross. And if tonight they'll come and ask him, he'll save them. He'll save them. Just bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.